Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Employment Matters, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm your host, Pete Waltz. Well, today's a special day for our listeners who listen on a regular basis. You know, on Tuesday, we call that Travel Tuesday. That's where each week we get the chance to dial in our members from all around the world, and they share with us important things that we need to know about doing business in their jurisdiction. Today, we're going to be learning more about doing business in Malta. I'm pleased to welcome the show Anne Bajega, a senior associate with GVZH Advocates, and Christine Borch-Milo, a training advocate at GVZH Advocates as well. So I'm excited to get into today's conversation. And Christine, let's start with you. Can you provide us with a general overview of Malta? Tell us about the economy, the population, maybe the government structure, anything else that our listeners need to know.
Of course. So Malta is a small, densely populated island nation in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, known for its rich history and also cultural heritage. As for the economy, due to a lack of natural resources, Malta has been very open to a lot of international trade and foreign investment setting up on its shores so as to keep the economy going. Overall, its economy is well diversified with strong sectors in tourism and manufacturing and has since the early 2000s diversified to other services, particularly online gaming and financial services. As for the population, we have a population of approximately 550,000 people, and Malta boasts a diverse demographic profile, including a mix of ethnicities and nationalities. In fact, around 21% of its population are even foreign nationals. Malta joined the EU as a member state in the year 2004, and it is the smallest member state within the European Union, as its area is only 316 kilometers. And this renders the island quite densely populated in comparison to the other EU member states. As for government structure, Malta operates as a parliamentary system of governance. The president serves as the head of state, and then you have the prime minister, who is the head of government. So their roles are quite diverse. Malta enjoys quite a stable and bipartisan political scene, which is largely convergent on the issues of national and economic importance. Being a parliamentary republic, fully adherent to its non-aligned provisos, the country enjoys political neutrality in an international context. Indeed, Malta has very good relationships with its neighboring countries, both to the north and to the south of the Mediterranean, and it also benefits from a well-established network of bilateral and multilateral relationships across the globe. And to close on this point, we have to note also that Malta is a bilingual country. We have two official languages, that is English and Maltese, reflecting its blend of the Mediterranean and the British influences. And also, we are very proud to know that Maltese is listed as one of the 24 official languages of the European Union.
Fantastic. Well, what a great update there. You know, I participated in a mystery theater thing one time, and I actually won a Maltese falcon. I don't know what that is. Is there a Maltese falcon in Malta?
Well, yes.
I happen to have a Maltese falcon on my shelf. So that was my experience before this meeting, but now I have a lot more information. And let's talk about the key industries in Malta. I know that Christine touched on a number of things, but give us an update on that if you can.
Sure. So the main industries locally are tourism, manufacturing, and as Christine touched upon, financial services and gaming. Historically, it has been tourism and manufacturing, tourism potentially for a while longer than the rest. Malta, being an island in the Mediterranean, boasts of fantastic weather, sandy beaches, and over 300 days of sun during the year. So tourism is a cornerstone. It leverages also on the island's rich history, the climate, as I said, and also the culture. This industry is very, very important for us because it generates around 15% of the country's GDP. And this, it's important also to note and interesting, is that it's even higher than that of the EU's average, which is 10%. So you can also see the difference in that respect. If we move on to the second, and that would be manufacturing, in the 70s and in the 80s, the Maltese government at the time implemented several incentives to encourage manufacturing industries to come and open shop in Malta. So what we see in certain areas is larger manufacturing industries and companies ranging from textiles to pharmaceuticals to also toys. So we see quite a bit of that. And the last two and the more recent two, which Christine has touched upon, would be financial services and iGaming. These are relatively recent, which would be the early 2000s. Financial services, in view of the fact that have a particular tax regime for companies, be it a financial services company or a gaming company, and also a range of services that we can offer clients, ranging from a banking license, a PSP license, or an EMI license. So there are various licenses that one can avail of. Then if we move on to the last point, but definitely not least, it would be the gaming industry. So Malta was at the forefront again in the early 2000s when it came to the licensing regime of gaming companies. In fact, I think we were amongst the first to come up with a licensing regime. Nowadays, I think it's safe to say that Europe and the rest of the world has caught up. Every jurisdiction has its own licenses and its own checks and balances. However, our gaming regime is still there. It's still very, very strong. And Malta still boasts of a pro-business environment, and it also now boasts of the history. So we now have around 20 years of history and experience when it comes to this particular industry. So we're, I think, a step above anyone else. The political stability also helps when it comes to these performances, and also governments have always been at the forefront to come up with different incentives to help people, or at least encourage people, to come here and set up their business here.
Wonderful. Wow. So a lot going on in that little island. You know, between the rich history all the way up through the gaming and setting the pace for a lot of those things, fantastic. So it sounds like the kind of place that not only I want to visit, but I might want to put employees there. So I'm an international company wanting to bring people to Malta, or I've got workers that want to work in Malta and live there. What are some of the structural issues that we need to know about when we're employing locally there?
So like any other country, of course, there are going to be structural issues when also being employed and working in Malta. We do face some structural issues in the local employment scene, including the need to balance out industry relations through many of the employers' associations, trade unions, work councils, and the like. And these play a significant role in issues such as negotiating wages and the working conditions of the employees, essentially. To pick up on the point of trade unions, the trade unions in Malta are highly predominant in the manufacturing industries, where most productions have their very own trade unions, which represent the need of the respective employees accordingly. And I can even give you some examples of the trade unions that exist in Malta. I mean, there are around 56, I would say, trade unions that are currently registered and listed, some of which are the General Workers Union, which is quite a big one. There's the Malta Chamber of the Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises, and also the Malta Union of Teachers, which is another big union. These trade unions are mostly in relation to the blue-collar workers as opposed to the white-collar workers, just to make a bit of a distinction there. Also, in this regard, the country is very, very proactive when it comes to protecting the employees. So the employees are always put at the forefront of any decision-making. Also placing the workers at the forefront of all decisions being made with regards to their working conditions, essentially. In fact, Malta works a lot to implement a lot of affirmative action and equal employment opportunities, promoting diversity, preventing discrimination, victimization, harassment, and the like at the place of work. An example for what we're seeing at the moment is the new EU Pay Transparency Directive, which came into force and which we will also need to implement as part of the EU rules. There are always going to be some challenges that are going to remain, like, for example, ensuring the gender equality, and efforts are being made to close the gender pay gap and this discrimination made on this basis. However, we have also seen a bit of a change when it comes to the increase of the workforce of female employees. So that is a positive aspect to note in this regard. Additionally, Malta is also addressing the integration of those foreign workers, as I previously mentioned, into the economy, because we do see a lot of foreign workers, foreign employees coming to Malta, selecting Malta to come and work over here. So it is very important that we accept them with open arms, essentially. And like this, we can continue to promote and make sure that we're treating them as equally as possible and as fair, and obviously in compliance with local labor laws.
So based on that, Christine, it sounds like, you know, between EEOC and affirmative action and the strong unions, that Malta would be more of a pro-employee place to live versus a pro-business. And we ask all of our members this because our ELA members represent companies as they go out into new marketplaces and so forth. So what's your opinion? Is the general business climate pro-business or pro-employee in Malta?
I can take this question from, I think, two main perspectives. Let's start with the pro-business, because in our opinion, we think that Malta is both pro-business and pro-employee. So to start a bit off with the pro-business, generally, Malta's business climate is viewed as such, as pro-business, because there is a strong emphasis on creating a favorable environment for investment and enterprise development, as we have also discussed before. The government, in fact, actively encourages foreign investment, and it offers so many incentives when it comes to the tax credits, some grants even coming from the EU, support for innovation. So these always promote businesses coming over here and establishing themselves in Malta, and then this would then get the employees to work in Malta as well. Malta's strategic location also promotes this. The EU membership, as I have mentioned before, the use of the English language, making us very flexible and very widely grasping, so to speak. It makes it a very good and attractive location for the international businesses. We are very highly dependent on foreign businesses setting up their shop in Malta, and Maltese governments have always worked towards this as much as possible, and it makes sense for them to continue contributing to this point, especially when it comes to the preferential tax treatments which the government offers to businesses. However, despite this, we cannot forget the pro-employee aspect to it all. There is the framework in place to always protecting the employees' rights, because they are seen as the weaker party to this relationship between the employer and the employee. We have a lot of regulations when it comes to protecting the minimum wage, their health and safety. So the health and safety regulations kick in over there as well. Collective bargaining agreements when it comes to their working conditions. So again, the list is a bit endless, so you have to take it from two aspects. It is also considered to be pro-employee because Malta's employment law regime has been drafted with the employee itself in mind. So we don't forget this point. Also to mention the Industrial Tribunal, which is the tribunal which tackles decisions on employment matters, they are quite prone to decide in favor of the employee. So we see this in many cases on the matter. And it's a good point to mention that this dual approach aims to offer a bit of a balance of the economic growth that there is in Malta. So there is, from one end, the social welfare, and this makes Malta competitive, but essentially a very inclusive place to work.
So a balanced approach. Imagine that. That usually does work, doesn't it? And let's talk about some of these cross-border opportunities that happen in the region, and also the movement of people. Now, we understand in the EU, there's free movement of people throughout the European Union. But let's say I'm from the US or Latin America or Asia Pacific, Africa, somewhere else. Is it difficult for me to come into Malta and work? What are some of the standards we need to know about?
So I could answer this question twofold. Primarily from a corporate point of view, where a foreign company, be it a US company or any other jurisdiction, wanting to redomicile itself or its seat, its main seat, to Malta, that would be a redomiciliation of a company. It is possible to redomicile companies into Malta as much as it's possible to do it outside of Malta. There is a list of jurisdictions whereby it is allowed to redomicile a company, so it is not possible for all jurisdictions, but it is possible in quite a number of jurisdictions. So it could mean that if you have a company in a different state, you choose to have it redomiciled then to Malta. The second part of the question would be squarely in respect of employees. So when it comes to cross-border opportunities, Malta has a number of solutions from an immigration point of view. You can have an immigration with respect to citizenship or residency, or you can have opportunities with respect to business permits, like a work permit, a nomad permit, and the like. Since, as you correctly pointed out, Pete Malta is an EU member state, there is free movement for EU countries. However, for someone from the US, especially if you want to come and work in Malta, a work permit is needed. There are a number of different work permits and different incentives, also tax incentives. So if you think a couple of different programs or different solutions, it could mean that as an employee of a Malta company, you could also avail of a preferential tax rate. So you could have a flat tax rate of 15%. There is more than one different type of work permit. So you can have a normal work permit, or you can have an expedited work permit, or you can have a work permit which is linked to your job, which has specific requirements. So there are a number of incentives across the board that the government has put in place for expats to actually come to Malta.
I mean, I'm just thinking about when I'm going to get to Malta, because there's so many cool things going on there between the economy, the history, the language, the way to do business over there, the balanced economy. It pretty much sounds like the perfect place. What do you folks think?
That's what we think.
Wonderful. Well, this has been a great conversation. I've learned a lot. Thanks so much for your time. And Christine, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Pete.
If you'd like to connect with Anne or Christine, you can find their bios by clicking on their name in the description of this podcast. Also visit ela.law to receive invitations to our upcoming webinars, download white papers, get access to on-demand content from the ELA's online library, or use the ELA's exclusive Global Employer Handbook. You've been listening to Employment Matters, a podcast brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Pete Waltz. Thanks so much for listening.